In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There are three times in Mark's Gospel in which Jesus predicts his coming death. We read these on the 24th and the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. In our lectionary today, we skip the third prediction and go straight from last week's reading to today's. I hope the reason for this is because those that have put the lectionary together give us a wee bit more credit in understanding Jesus than the disciples. Because once again, we're given a reading in which they do not come out in a good light. Here, James and John, who are part of the inner three, who witnessed Jesus' transfiguration and received instructions to listen to him, come to Jesus, and not asking what he has just said to them, ask for a place of authority in his kingdom. If you were at church about a month ago, you might be feeling some deja vu. For in that reading, the disciples were arguing about who would be the greatest and have the most authority among them. However, today the brothers don't just ask for any place in authority, but for the highest place, the right and left-hand side of Christ. We could expect Jesus at this point to grumble at the brothers and ask if they have been listening to anything he has been saying, but he doesn't. Instead, he tells them, "You do not know what you are asking." Jesus then expands on this by laying out clearly what they must be willing to do. And that is to drink the cup that he drinks and be baptized just as he is baptized. This is what James and John must do. When Jesus is referring to drinking the cup, he is taking imagery from the Old Testament and applying it to himself. We can find this imagery of the cup in the Psalms and prophetic literature. The metaphor of the cup in the Old Testament refers to the fate that lies ahead of a person, what he or she will receive from the hands of God. The use of baptism here by Jesus does not refer to the sacrament, but evokes the standard biblical metaphor in which undergoing trials and dangers is depicted as a passage through stormy, turbulent waters. Jesus is warning the brothers that what they will face by being his disciple will not be comfortable or easy. I think that at this point most people would have taken the hint and left, but not James and John. Both men reply with, "We are able." We know a small amount about both of these disciples after Jesus' ascension. In the Acts of the Apostles, we get told of James's beheading at the hands of King Agrippa in about the year 44 AD-ish, maybe. There is some controversy about his legacy, though, in travelling to Spain. However, what we do know is that he took the same cup as Christ and was martyred for his faith. John's life after Jesus' ascension is a wee bit harder to follow. There are a number of claims on him as the author of the Gospel and the epistle writings, given his name, and the book of Revelations. However, there are those theologians that disagree with them. But what is commonly accepted is that John spent his years preaching the Gospel, training others to take leadership in the church, and spreading the good news of Christ. John is believed to have died of natural causes, traditionally the only disciple not to be martyred. And while he was not martyred, he would have faced the baptism Jesus talks about, as he faced troubled waters and hardships for his faith. Both these two brothers followed their declarations in today's Gospel with their actions after Jesus' ascension, and fulfilled their promise that they would drink the same cup and face the same baptism as he did. after we read about the conversation with Jesus and the brothers, we read about the rest of the disciples being unhappy with the brothers for asking Jesus to sit at his side. Now, I don't think the rest of the disciples were unhappy because the brothers had asked this question, but that they hadn't asked it first. Here we see the disciples' lack of understanding and worrying about worldly positions coming out again. Jesus, however, sees a different way for the world. For he tells them, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be the first among you must be slave for all, and that they must follow his example as he serves others." We of course know that Jesus takes the servitude to the ultimate end when he dies on the cross for all humankind. As will be clear by the end of this reading, what began as an attempt on Jesus' part to counter the false ambitions of the disciples, as he concluded, has concluded with a profound statement of the meaning of the death that lies before him in Jerusalem. The statement grounds the community's exercise of authority as service, on nothing less than the redemptive action of Christ. If James and John and the other 10 disciples, and indeed all who would wish to follow Christ, want to enter into and share Jesus' glory, the only way is to follow him in the self-sacrificing service of to humanity that will have its high point of concentration on the cross. When we are listening to things being read, it is normal to put ourselves in the story. Are we one of the brothers or one of the disciples? Would we have reacted the same way as them? Well, we can't answer those questions. What we can answer is, how do we react now? Do we follow Jesus' words and become servants for all? Or do we find some way to get out of it? I strongly believe that one of the differences that our faith has to others is that we believe in a God that came down from heaven, became fully human in Christ, and died for us. This was an act of ultimate servitude. Some days I wonder what the world would look like if we all followed Christ's example fully. I believe that if we did, the world would be a much better place for all people. Amen.